Just to welcome everybody here, we've quite a few new councillors onto the committee, and just to welcome you all here. Before we start, any apologies? Okay, thank you. And just as for those councillors who maybe haven't been here before, as per usual, we allow each councillor to speak once on each agenda item. As most of you will say, we have a massive agenda tonight, following the gap between the last term of council and the elections, etc. So if people could respect that, we'll be very grateful, particularly tonight. And just as well as that, I'd like to welcome Paul Tomati, who's the new Assistant Director for Leisure and Sport. So this will be his first meeting, so I'd like to give a warm welcome for Paul. As well, the number of items that we're going to bring forward, particularly the two notices of motion, we'll take them at the beginning of the meeting. I know there's a number of councillors who need to leave to attend another meeting. So if we could just ask people, because we have such a big agenda, and it's not to take away from the content of the motions, but if we could try and keep points as brief and succinct as possible, because it is going to be quite a long meeting. So we'll be very grateful for that too. Okay. Any declarations of interest?
Councillor Enright. I'm not on this committee, but two of the items arise from motions that I put to council, so I'll be looking to speak on those two.
Okay, well, just again, Cadogan, if we could just rely on everyone to speak once, and if we can keep it brief, that would be much appreciated. So item number three is to agree a starting time for this committee. Are councillors happy to keep it at the... Yeah, we've got a... Seconder. Everybody in agreement? Keep it at 6 o'clock. Thank you. Item number four then, the action sheet arising from the last meeting, which would have been the 21st of March. Any matters arising? No. Are there proposer and seconder? Proposed, Councillor Gallagher. Seconder? Councillor McAvoy. Okay, thank you. I'm going to bring forward then the items number, the two motions. So the first motion we'll take is item number 27, and that's a notice motion referred from the council meeting on the 3rd of June from Councillor Brown. So Councillor Brown, are you happy to take this?
Right, thank you very much, Chair, and thank you very much for moving these motions forward. I really appreciate it. I've got to head up to Armagh after this, so this helps me out quite a bit. Cheers. So I'd like to start by thanking and dedicating this motion to the many community groups and charities right across the district who either directly or indirectly lead the fight against suicide and for mental health on a daily basis. They shoulder far too much of the burden and are rarely given the support and recognition they deserve. In particular, I'd like to thank local group Suicide Down to Zero, who provided much of the inspiration for this motion, as well as many other groups who have educated me on this issue since I was first elected, such as Pop-Up Arts in the town here, Aware, My, Pips, Men's Shed, Sophie Bridges Foundation, and many others. I'd also like to thank Councillor Gibbons for agreeing to second this motion. There are four key outcomes of this motion, which, if successful, will start this new council term with an incredibly strong statement on the council's commitment to addressing the issue of suicide and poor mental health in our district. The first is to adopt the corporate position of suicide down to zero. This, in essence, is a statement and belief that we should strive towards a society in which suicide never happens, that it would be reduced to zero. I do not believe this is a controversial aspiration to hold, regardless of how ambitious it might be. It is not a suicide reduction position, which is the predominant mindset within statutory agencies, but a suicide eradication position. Similar campaigns have been adopted with road safety campaigns, for example, and I think if we can push for zero deaths on our roads, why not also support zero deaths by suicide? Northern Ireland is in the grips of a suicide and mental health crisis. More people have died by suicide, over 4,500, since the Good Friday Agreement than died as a result of the Troubles. We have a 25% higher rate of poor mental health than the rest of the UK, yet we spend far less per capita on mental health services. NHS England spends approximately 12% of its annual budget on these services, yet the Department of Health in Northern Ireland spends only around 7%. Parts of this district have had some of the highest rates of suicide in the UK, and this council area experiences the second highest number of suicides of any council area after Belfast. I would say there are few, if any, people in this room who are lucky enough not to have known someone who lost their lives to suicide or was affected by suicide. When it happens, the pain and grief spreads through communities, unfortunately often causing a ripple effect of mental health issues and patterns of suicide. And that's why it's vital we work from the grassroots at the local level to address this issue. Whilst Stormont continues to fail us, councils need to do their part to pick up the slack. I believe that setting up a dedicated resource suicide prevention working group would be one way to do this, and the second clear outcome of this motion. This would seek representation from all party groupings, as well as local organisations working in suicide prevention and mental health, ensuring representation of a range of perspectives, capacities and geographical area. It would have a dedicated council officer to carry out actions agreed at quarterly meetings, and its members would be tasked with developing a long-term strategic plan for how council can best assist in achieving the goal of suicide down to zero. The third outcome would involve council putting resources directly into the communities through charity and community partners to help support them in reducing suicide and improving mental health. This would take the form of a small grant scheme, the timeframes, criteria and amounts of which would be broadly in line with other financial assistance programmes, and the details of which could be decided by the working group and ratified by the AHC committee. In my opinion, the projects funded by this programme would focus on three key areas which have been identified as a priority by several local groups. They are, one, public awareness raising on the need to bring suicide down to zero, two, carrying out training with public and private sector bodies to help identify any warning signs of suicidal ideation, three, support and recovery services for those grieving as a result of suicide. Finally, the Council will write to the Permanent Secretary of the Department of Health expressing our frustration and criticising the failure of the Department to adequately address this issue, with the Protect Life 2 strategy being one of the ways progress could be made. It seems surreal that even with the absence of a functioning executive, something is uncontentious, with broad cross-party support such as addressing mental health could not be progressed right away, because doing so would save lives. Thank you, and I hope everyone will support this motion tonight.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. I think just before I let the next speaker in, Councillor Gibbons wanted to propose the...
Yes, I'd like to propose that motion.
Yeah. Seconded by Councillor... Oh, he can't propose it because he's not on the committee. So, sorry, Councillor Bain, you were waiting to come in and speak.
I'd like to second that. I would just like to say that I believe this is a very important motion. Suicide and depression are an increasingly problematic phenomenon that is affecting not only our districts, but our country as a whole. We need to proactively address the problem, and adopting a suicide down to zero approach is a great step to attempt to curb the rates of suicide we are seeing in our community.
Thank you. Councillor Walker.
Chair, thank you very much. And I want to thank Councillor Brown for bringing the motion. I think this is maybe the fourth or fifth motion in relation to suicide that's been brought to this council, and I think it's time we did act. So we did. A number of them were brought, which were supported. Obviously, the findings from that and the fact that they were supported unanimously, I believe they weren't acted on. I think we have an opportunity here to show that we do care. I would also like to think that through our health working groups that there is a paper brought forward there also, because even though the Assembly is not functioning, I believe the Permanent Secretary, Richard Pengelly, has a big, big part to play here in relation to funding. I know funding has been made available for mental health through the confidence and supply. Now, I don't know where that money has been utilised because Stormont's not up and running in that, but we should find that out, because if there's money there for mental health, it could be channelled down into local councils. So it could. And we could be rolling strategies out, not just Muir Mhòr and Down, but right across the whole of Northern Ireland. And that, so our party will be supporting this motion, and I thank Councillor Brown again for bringing it. But we need to act. We need to act. If this is passed tonight unanimously, we need to act. So we do in that and do something, because we can't just keep bringing motions forward and them not being acted on.
Thanks. Councillor
Walker,
Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'll keep my remarks brief, conscious of the agenda tonight. Certainly, I'm very, very pleased to be able to support the motion. I want to thank Councillor Brown for bringing this forward. My own party brought forward a motion maybe around 6 months ago. Councillor McCauley and myself, similar sentiments in terms of trying to, certainly I suppose at that stage it was reduced. Suicide levels, but certainly if we could eradicate them, I think that's what all of us would want. It shocked me actually whenever I had received figures, you know, previous to our own motion, how many families were actually affected by it in this area, and it's clear that action is needed to try and eradicate suicide once and for all. But it will be a difficult task. There's no point pretending otherwise. But certainly anything that we can do as a council to try and play our part in terms of being active in that regard, we should do that. And again, as Councillor Walker said, we can bring forward, you know, various motions, but unless action is taken, that's the only way we're going to make some progress on this. So, I'm very happy to support the motion, and I certainly hope that all colleagues within the chamber tonight will do likewise. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Taylor.
Thanks very much, Chair. I'd like to thank Councillor Brown as well for bringing the motion to council. The SDLP group will be supporting the motion. I think a lot has already been said. Councillor Brown made reference to suicide and mental health issues in general are on the increase in our district and across the north. And it is very important. It's very important and it's very key that we tackle these, as he has rightly pointed out, at a grassroots level. And I think that there's room for ourselves as a council to support local groups in that. And I think the key to this motion is the support. These groups are providing support to individuals across our district. And you know, it's not that they're out for financial gain. They're taking most of their own time to do this, and they're trying to fulfil a role that should be fulfilled by our health service. But unfortunately, our health service is failing. So there's a lot of voluntary groups out there, a lot of charitable groups out there who do a lot of worthwhile work, and they just need the support now from local authorities to continue with that work and to ensure that they're providing good quality support to those people who are in need. So we'll be fully supporting the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mann.
Sinn Féin are delighted to support the motion as well, Chair.
Thank you. Okay, thank you to all the speakers. So we'll move on then to the next motion. I know it's in the name of Councillor Clark, who's not here, but Councillor Randy, you want to take this one?
Yeah, unfortunately Willie was unable to attend tonight's meeting, so I'll just read out the motion. And this council will introduce a policy to ensure council buildings and leisure centres with vending machines will replenish them with healthy choice snacks and drinks, and will reduce the availability of high sugar items such as sweets, high sugar fizzy drinks and high fat snacks. Furthermore, council will encourage other partner organisations on the Community Planning Partnership Board to follow the example of council and implement similar interventions with their organisations. These measures will assist us in tackling obesity, creating nudge strategies to facilitate healthier choices to help people change their lifestyle. So just from our own party, just obviously you have to start somewhere, and I think this is an example for the council to set first and foremost, so we will propose the motion.
Okay.
Yes, sir. It's a policy that's being rolled out across in schools across right across Ireland. So, yeah, I'm happy to second the proposal. It makes a lot of sense.
Okay. Councillor Brown.
Realising all this committee, is that all right?
Sure.
Or make it quick.
Yeah, just had one comment just to say that there probably shouldn't be a complete eradication of all sugary sweets and drinks from the vending machines. I had a contact from a diabetic constituent just who highlighted that if you're going to put them there, make sure there's still some sugary stuff and it's not all health foods, although I fully support the motion in principle.
I think it's just to reduce it anyway. I think that's kind of the idea of it. Okay, thank you. Councillor Taylor, and I'm sorry, Councillor Walker.
Sure. Just to say that our party will also be supporting the motion, that And when you're doing away with sugary sweets, just give them to me and Councillor Andrews.
Chair, thank you. Yes, I'd certainly be supporting the motion also. I think we're all guilty of enjoying maybe one too many fizzy drinks and sweets and whatever. So anything that we can do to reduce obesity levels and in turn help the health service, I think we should do that. So fully behind the motion.
Okay, thank you. All in agreement. Oh, sorry, Councillor Gallagher.
Hi, no, I fully support the motion in regards to that. I think it is important. I do think that Councillor Brown did say, in regards to the risk of diabetes and that, it's reducing it to a healthy limit, but keeping something in there. But I do fully support, and our party will be supporting it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Councillors, thanks very much, and thanks for allowing us to take that forward. We're now going to invite Caroline Firth, who will be doing the presentation by Outdoor Recreation Northern Ireland Walking Trails. So thank you, Carolyn, and then I'll be taking an item forward on, in relation to this as well. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Carolyn. Well, just on that, I suppose we're going to bring forward then item number 15. But before we do that, Councillor Walker, did you want to come in just with comments? Or?
Yes, sure. All right, I want to thank you for the work that's been carried out here. It has been excellent. I remember when you brought a previous presentation, yes, you were focusing on the slave group area and that. Good to see that it's all moved forward. Number there you've mentioned has been well used. So we are, this is the way forward, and that in relation to it. And you have mentioned Downpatrick, Lincoln, Delamont. I do think that is a must. So it is part of a consultation up there in relation to Delamont that was carried out at the end of last year. Flagged that up. So it did. So I just hope that that is carried through. Money's made available to do that there. But if you're waiting to the next presentation before make a proposal, I would make, you know, if you're going through that there,
Councillor Walker, you can't, because we have to wait and take the decision once Carolyn has left.
No, that's okay. That's right. No, well, as I said, Carolyn, I want to commend you. You've done excellent work here. So you have, and it's all good.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Councillor Enright, I know you're not a member of this committee, so I'm going to ask you to keep it brief.
Well, this one relates back to a motion we passed unanimously in council here last year to prioritise the recreation of the Ulster Way in Rowallan, linking Delamont Park, Killyleagh, Downpatrick and Strangford. Now, I know you're not, I know it's only a humanity trail to you, but the tiny bit of trail that you're doing will have very significant effects overall in East Down, because at the moment, as you know, the Ulster Way stops in Strangford. It no longer has Castle Ward, Downpatrick, the Coyle River, or Killyleagh or Delamont in it, simply because we didn't acquiesce properly one particular piece of land owned by the DOE and another bit owned by the National Trust, you know. So it's a really important project. So, and I'm also glad to see that you are now getting into linking walks. One of the problems I think we had until recently was Oakwood Bunkers Hill was very good in Castle Wellan, and of course the GA route in Saul is very important, but you can't get from one community to another or one village to another. And I think the feasibility studies you are bringing up would link half a dozen different villages together in a very productive way.
Okay, thank you, Councillor. Okay, thanks very much, Carolyn. Yeah, just while we're waiting, in between there's a few just chairperson's remarks, but that I missed at the start that Michael has just given me. So just the first one was regarding Kingfield Community Centre for members, that the official opening takes place on Thursday the 27th of June at 11 a.m. This is a 1.4 million project consisting of a large indoor 3D pitch, one court, main hall, studio and meeting room, and all members are invited to attend. Also, the Ballinahinch Community Centre staff have collected an Energy Saving Award for 2019. So just to congratulate the staff at Ballinahinch Community Centre who attained the Council's Most Improved Energy Performing Building for 2019 recently. Work carried out on site include
6.5 kilowatts,
photovoltaic panels, variable speed drives, the main hall supply fans and LED lighting installed throughout the building. This has resulted in an impressive 42% reduction in annual electricity usage. And the last item is just a big thank you to all the community groups for their continued hard work, and congratulations and well done to those who received awards at the afternoon tea event on the 9th of June. A total of 28 awards were presented under the following categories: community centres celebrating big birthdays, young volunteers under the age of 25, volunteers celebrating 10 years, 15 years and 20 years service, special recognition award for volunteers going the extra mile, and volunteers working with young and older people. Okay, so just as I said, we're going to move on to item number 15, following on from Carolyn's presentation. So Paul's going to take this one.
Members, you're asked to consider and agree a service level agreement with Outdoor Recreation NI for 2019 and 2020 at a cost of $116,400. In order to progress the works that have just been obviously illustrated in the presentation, and continue to develop the trails and seek further funding within the 7DEA areas. This SLA will need to be in place, so hence the recommendation of the report.
Okay, Councillor Walker.
Chair, I'll make out a proposal, an officer's recommendation, because I do believe it's an excellent project. So it is, and it's the way to move forward. So it is. You've seen by the figures there and that, and some of the parts that she'd mentioned, you know, the walking trails and that there, the number of people that's using it, and it's getting people out into the countryside there too, and in their parts and that. So I'll make a proposal.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Murray?
Yeah, I'm sorry, well.
Okay, thank you. All in agreement? Okay. I move back then to item number 6, and this is getting the... Apologies. Sorry,
Councillor Campbell. Thanks very much. Just in relation to Councillor Walker and Councillor Barrett, I second with the proposal. I hardly concur with the presentation and with the officer's recommendation. I firmly believe I'm a firm supporter of Dalymount Country Park, and I think that if any further additions to improving it and to enhancing it would be very much welcomed. So it's a speak in support. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Item number 6 then is skating lanes to mitigate antisocial behaviour. And Michael, are you taking this?
Yep, thank you, sir. As I was frantically just trying to find the paper. This comes out of the notice of motion that was referred to the last committee meeting. And officers were asked to go away and write up a paper. So, given the fact that we have such a heavy agenda, I don't intend to read out the report in full. I'm sure members have read it, and I'm sure members are aware of the notice of motion that was passed. What I've set out in the key issues is the Council's current procedures and systems in place for dealing with gating orders, and the procedures and processes associated with the PCSP, should they get a request, and the assistance that they will give. We have also recommended that the current proposals, which are working quite well to the best of our knowledge, should be considered. So the recommendation says that the committee agree to the use of the procedure in Appendix 1. That's the procedure as set out by the DOE, which is included in there as guidance document. When applications are made, the newly morning down District Council for gating orders. So, okay.
Need a proposal and seconder?
I propose, Chair.
Councillor Walker, second.
Sure.
Right, Councillor Savage. Okay, Councillor Emmett, do you want to come in there?
Yes, Chair. This is on the foot of my motion, and basically, what Michael is basically telling us is that yes, Council does have the powers to have gating orders. Up until now, we have had some success working with the Housing Executive in gating various lanes. I know there's one that we're waiting to. In fact, there's half a dozen lanes waiting to gate in Ballymote at the moment, where the Housing Executive has duly gone to the Water Board, the Fire Service, the Ambulance Service, the Road Service, etc. and so forth, and provided evidence that everyone has been consulted, including the local community, and they're waiting for the Council to make a gating order. The reason why I brought this motion forward, because I was aware that this gating order applied not just to Housing Executive property, but to all forms of property. And my suggestion at the time was that we need to have a relationship with PCSP, so PCSP would have a small budget to bring forward proposals in the same way that the Housing Executive could bring forward proposals and would have a small budget. And if that wasn't possible, then Michael's own department should have a budget in order to ensure that where a community association or the police particularly want a lane gated, it is possible for us to do so.
Just in relation to that, I suppose recently I've attended a meeting with a particular issue like this, and for us to have a particular budget, that needs to be considered in the race. But as it stands, any agency can be the promoter and can agree to fund that. So I don't know if it's wise to suggest that PCSP are the sole funder of that. But okay, Councillor Savage.
Yeah, well, that really was the element I was going to home in on following the meeting we've had this week. You know, obviously we have issues in Pooley and Cleary Crescent where we're looking at that at the moment. What role can PCSP play going forward in this in relation to how are we going to enact this, taking it forward, given the fact that the Antisocial Behaviour Group does have the key agencies involved in it. And I think that that's a vital link in relation to being able to do a lot of the heavy lifting element of it. Would you envisage it then playing that key role?
Thank you, Chair. The PCSP role in gating orders will be crucial going forward. As you've mentioned, they have the various working groups that look at antisocial behaviour, and their whole purpose is to reduce the fear of crime. That's what a PCSP is all about at its core. There are councillors involved in that, and they will be involved in gathering information and data that will be useful in determining whether a gating order is required. They will also, they can also be a project sponsor if they wish to be. And if nobody else wishes to step forward. But the PCSP will advise community groups and other statutory agencies and other partners and anybody who wants to consider erecting gates, alley gates, to deal with a particular problem. As the committee will be aware, alley gates aren't a one-size-fits-all, and quite often in Belfast have had a number of these recently where actually alley gates then attract antisocial behaviour when you get off certain areas. So you can find yourself over a period of time having to look at taking these things away again. So it needs to be carefully considered. Sorry for a long-winded answer, but the PTSP is heavily involved and will be heavily involved going forward. And we're proposing that continues. The council can be a sponsor at any stage, as can the PCSP, as can the housing executive, as can a community association, as can any number of different organisations.
Yeah.
And our health and wellbeing section, through your own team, will be there to make the gating order and to advise and to assist groups. So I think there's plenty of assistance there. In terms of a budget, there currently isn't one, and the PCSP doesn't have one. But if the council wants to consider that as part of the rates process, then of course that's welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Councillor Traynor. Oh, no, sorry. Sorry, Councillor Rowan.
No, listen, there's no doubt that gating is an effective tool in combating antisocial, but reading through the document, I'm not sure where we are with this as a council. You know, reading the document tells me that we will issue the order, but it doesn't actually specifically say that we would be the funders of it. And I know we've talked around it there that anybody, any statutory agencies can be, but I have a funny feeling that this will end up back with council, and council will end up putting all these gates up. And I think we need to be very, very careful about what we're signing up for here. And again, I'm not opposed to them, and I do know they are effective in certain instances, but I do get the sense that, and we're making a decision for the PCSP here, when really the PCSP are a decision-making body of their own.
Yeah, just on that point, yes. I think the legislation, if you look at it, was written that it wouldn't be the council that necessarily who are the promoter of these gating orders. The legislation, again, if you look at it, is written on the terms that an actual the residents could, in a lot of cases, would be the promoter of it, which, understanding, would be quite difficult for group residents to purchase gates, to maintain them, and insurance, etc., for a period of time. There's nothing in this to stop us here. We still have the statutory responsibility within environmental health, part of health and wellbeing, that if any promoter wants to make a gate in order, at the moment, to say the housing executive, our act as promoter for one in Downpatrick, we go through the process to adjudicate on that and issue the order. As you said, the PCSP do have the power, they're mentioned in the guidance as a possible promoter if they wish. I suppose a lot of it comes back to the promoter is really meant to be the person or the statutory body who is most affected by it, who's going to get the benefit for it. Ideally, it's probably going to be better if it's a statutory body, but say we will still have the responsibility as council of making the gate in order, but not necessarily of buying the gates and maintaining them. So.
Sorry, Chair, just to try and deal with that question. What we are proposing here today does not compel the council to get involved in putting alley gates up. We're referring to the guidance which is set by the department, and we're suggesting the council should follow that. That does not mean that the council is becoming the sponsor for every single alley gate that's required. We are not instructing the PCSP to become the sponsor for all alley gates that may be required in this area. And as it stands, there is no budget for us to do that anyway. So, sorry, just to be clear, we're suggesting the status quo continues, i.e. the PTSP has the same level of involvement as it has right now in the future, which is merely about advising, and that the council has the same level of involvement in the future as it has now, which is we can become a sponsor if we make a conscious decision on a specific application, but it does not compel us in advance of that application of becoming the project promoter or the sponsor.
Okay. Sorry,
can I have a follow-up on that?
Just to reiterate, you've already spoken, and we said with one per private project.
It's just, Michael, what you're saying all makes sense, but currently the PCSP does not know that it can be a sponsor. I checked with them. They're not aware of it. They need to be told. So we need to sort that out. I also noticed one small error in the document. It's not just roads. It's roads and lanes. I think we should amend the document to say roads and lanes.
Just on the issue with the PCSP, they attended the meeting and I was at last week, and they said that they could be a sponsor. They are aware. And also that groups could apply to the PCSP for funding if it was a group, a residence group or whatever. So, Councillor Walker, sorry.
Just point of information, Edgar. Take Councillor Wan's point now, but would it not be true to say that a lot of these alley gates, as we call them, would be maybe in housing executive estates? Surely the onus is on the housing executive then for to fund them there, not the council. Mm. Yes, we have guidelines there, so we do. But, for example, if it was in Grove Park, Killeigh, my own area, and you needed an alley gate, it would be the housing executive that would be funding that. It wouldn't be Newry Moreland Down Council. Would it be true to say that?
Yeah. I think just that this is really the process that has to be followed for any body that's going through it. It's not to say that council have to be the key person.
Absolutely.
Okay, everybody happy enough with that one? Yeah, okay. Moving on then, item number 7. My thing's gone slow here. The business plan for active and healthy communities.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. This is the business plan for the my department for the year 1920, the year that we're currently in. And the business plan sets out an overview of the planned activity for the department over the next year. This is obviously based on the previous council's corporate plan, in that this council has not yet decided on its corporate plan and finalised that. That will be happening over the coming months. And once we have a new corporate plan, we will, of course, be updating the business plans to reflect that. So that will happen this year for next year. So whilst I'm making the point that the objectives which inform the business plan for the department are the objectives from the old council, they are set before you, and we'll deliver those to the best of our ability, and we will be there assisting you as councillors with the development of the corporate plan over the coming months. So I'm happy to take questions over here.
Okay, I'll pull in seconders first. Anybody need a proposer? No? Okay. Are you proposing an okay? And you want to find out?
Good question, yeah. Thanks, Michael. That's great, and we'll get a good look to that. Any councillors that were on the council the last time round, and any new councillors, I repeatedly raised an issue in this committee about the new Flair Park in Newtown and a call for a second public consultation. It's been suggested at different times in this committee that it was a case of not liking a result of a vote in this committee and going again, but that's not the case. The public feel that the first vote was compromised because it was fast-tracked into the Rural Development Programme, which it ultimately didn't make in time. And the biggest issues on the doors in the most recent election was the Flair Park in Newtown. One SDLP councillor had voted against the second consultation and got next to no votes in Newtown as a result. The community have sought legal advice from what they see as a really unfair process from start to finish. Just basically, the Flair Park in Newtown wouldn't have been built till around about now. It was in year 3 or 4 of the Flair strategy at the time. And in what could have been a huge positive for Newtown, it was fast-tracked into the Rural Development Programme. What that meant was that the public consultation was fast-tracked too into August, where
lots of people in Newtown, in the centre of Newtown, were on holidays. There's 57 or something people turned up at the public consultation. There's hundreds of people making representation to me on this issue. I've raised it again and again and again and again to try and look for a second public consultation, regardless of, I'm not canvassing for one side over another, but to give the people in Newtown a say, to, for all the councillors, for David Taylor to go tell it, for Pete Bourne to go tell it, and for everyone to go and have their say on where this park should go. And I was hoping to propose tonight that the people in Newtown are allowed to have their say, and that a second public consultation would take place at the earliest possible convenience. Gordon Morgan.
Chair, for a start, I'm not even sure how this was able to be brought in to this discussion about a business plan. I'm astonished, to be honest with you. Second thing is, I knocked every door in Newton Hamilton too, and it wasn't raised once. In fact, people were very keen to see the play park installed as a matter of urgency. It was passed in planning just over a week ago. People want a play park in Newtown, and they're happy to where it is at this stage. Barra's been through this time and time and time again, and I don't want to go over old arguments. I don't want to cause any conflict regarding it. I just want to see the play park in Newton Hamilton installed, and to be installed as a matter of urgency. And I've never seen so many attempts in my life since I've been on this council, and this is my third time in council now, to overturn a democratic decision that's been taken. This has been brought to this committee countless times over the last mandate, and every time a decision was taken to proceed with the consultation. And as I said before, you were creating a very dangerous precedent by opening a consultation again. We need to move on with this and get this play park installed, because this is another delaying tactic by Councillor Murray. I'm sorry. There's no other reason for this, because he wants it in another location. He's not accepting the decision that was taken by this council and by a decision that was taken by through consultation. Same way other consultations were carried out. The one in Newton Hamlet wasn't carried out any differently to the others carried out. And I think it's unfair that he continues to act in this way. It's only delaying a play facility that's deserved in Newton Hamlet, and I don't think it's fair that they should have to suffer any more because of this. And I certainly wouldn't be supporting the proposal to open this up again, because that's all it's designed to do, is to overturn the decision that was democratically decided by this council, and again was consulted by the community. And I'm sorry, I'm shocked at it, to be honest. I'm just fed up with it, to be honest.
Councillor Trainor?
On a different issue, just in relation to the business plan, actually, now this time.
Okay, well, I take the proposal first, and then we can... Okay, so there's all in favour? What's the proposal? All against? When did you get a chance to client sign?
Did we get that the first time?
Sorry, do that again, that was like...
Five, four, six.
And again? Okay, any abstentions? Okay.
Six, 4-7 against, sure.
4-7, all right. Okay. Sorry, Councillor Trainor, then I'll take you in.
Yeah, no, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just happy to see in the business plan a development and open space strategy, because I know that myself and Michael have had many conversations last time, and I was unfortunate I had to come off the active health committees for certain reasons last year, and I would hope to have maybe even tried to have this maybe through quicker. I've seen this here coming to fruition quicker. Obviously, an open space strategy, that works for a lot of our areas, whether it be in Downpatrick or whether it be in Newcastle, Warren Point, Newry. You know, it's looking at open spaces, open green spaces, and the idea of developing those green spaces to ensure that they're fit for public use and that they're of a quality that's fit for public use. So we're very happy to see that in the business plan and look forward to seeing that come forward now next year.
Okay, thank you. Okay, then happy to move on to the next item, item number 8, which is the DA4 update report. Janine, you've taken this one, thank you.
Yes, Chair members, this is our monthly report from the DEA forums, and it details the wealth of activity going on within DEA world. It's all detailed in Appendix 4. The report also presents action sheets from recent DEA meetings, and the actions agreed at those DEA forums need ratified here at AHC. So this month we're looking for approval across action sheets from Newry, Crotley and the Mourne DEA, and also one action arising from Downpatrick DEA, which is detailed under the recommendation section 3.1.
Yeah, both of you. Who goes proposer? Councillor McAvoy, a seconder. Perfect, thank you. Right, Mr. Savage.
Yeah, just on the action sheet from your ADA meeting, just wondering, was there any further update on the rapid bins beyond the installation of the one that Newry Bid had a hand in? I'm just anxious that we're a long time in the process. We've been on the PCSP in relation to trying to get a council building. We are an active and healthy council, and I think this is a huge necessity given the success of the one at the Natilla Centre in Kilkeel. It's been a roaring success in relation to the number of prescription drugs it's taken off the streets and made available for safe disposal. We have a growing prescription drug problem in Newry. It needs to be tackled. And while the one in Power Park in Newry is welcome, I believe that we need to be looking at having a council facility that's amenable to everybody. And I think that the council needs to carry out as much work as possible and as quickly as possible to deliver that. It's something that we've been working on for a long time, and while this doesn't happen, there are young people in particular have been put at risk by these drugs being on the streets and made relatively available. It can cause a lot of social problems, family problems, health problems, mental health problems, and I believe that we need to address it, and the council, if it's serious about it, needs to progress this as quickly as possible. Thanks, Chair.
Just for information, I know that there's been huge progress in the installation of rapid bins across the district, and again I received notice that another one was agreed last week. I can get details of those locations to you, as agreed to and reported through the PCSP, but it is a good news story.
Happy enough, then we move on to item number 9, which is the financial assistance and service level agreements for the community centre and organisations. The name again.
Yes, Chair, members. Previously, AHC agreed to introduce a financial assistance call to issue service level agreements to support community facilities across the district. And this meant for the first time the groups would have to actively apply for finances or funding to support the running of their centres. This committee further agreed that community organisations supported by council under legacy arrangements should be continued, and that we would help legacy groups by providing one third of their original funding should they go through an application process and were not successful or indeed did not apply. It was further agreed that an interim call would be scheduled in year two of the council to help for groups, community facilities just opening or coming on board, and providing them with an opportunity to apply for funding as well. Council has issued this funding through an open competitive call with financial assistance recently, but since then we've been contacted by a number of legacy groups, the groups that we have supported for decades, maybe who weren't successful through the financial assistance process or maybe did not apply, and they have conveyed to us their concern that this one-third payment agreed by council would not be enough and that they would require additional support to keep their doors open. The report, therefore, members, seeks approval to increase this transition period from 33% for 1 year to 50% for two consecutive years, which will take those groups to the interim call as previously agreed by committee. So it would be agreement on those two parts of the recommendation, Chair.
Okay.
Chair, is this one to do with the
this is the service level agreement for the community division. Sorry. I just need a proposal and seconder first. Sure. Okay, thank you. Move on then to item number 10, which is the piece for local action plan.
Yes, Chair. AHC also is responsible for approving the minutes and actions arising from the Peace Corps partnership. This month specifically, we're looking for approval to extend the programme until June 2021 and also agreement around £190,000 of remaining animation fund to go through a financial assistance call in the future. It's recommendations arising from the Peace Corps partnership.
Is there a second? Can I show her? Any matters arising? Happy enough to move on, okay. Item number 11 then is the logistical support for events.
Chair, Council currently provides support to all community associations running events across the district, specifically smaller events, community events. In short, we look to help groups with tables, chairs, barriers, marquees, gazebos, and we will deliver those and collect them free of charge to community groups running events. we previously reported to committee issues we were experiencing in trying to transport over 50 barriers to a particular event, and this committee agreed that with requests of 50 plus barriers that we would hire those barriers in. We have carried out a review since that agreement, and the cost to council and the request have subsequently tripled for support to these larger type events, and the recommendation therefore is to cap the number of available barriers for one event, and we will continue to look after the small events. So again, as with the policy which I've provided along with the procedures, is to protect and support these smaller events and not allow a spiral of cost for larger sporting or larger commercial type events that are requesting these barriers.
Can you just a quick question on that one? So for the larger events, is there other ways that they can apply for help with that, or through funding? Or?
Yes, Chair. I mean, it would be an eligible cost under financial assistance anyway.
Okay. Proposer is seconded for that item. Proposed Councillor Savage, seconded Councillor Gallagher. Any matters raised? Any questions on that one? Okay. Thank you. The next item then is item number 12, and it's the enforced closure compensation for community associations.
Yes, Chair. The report details eligible payments for community facilities required to close and operate as polling stations. A recent event in the elections, the recommendations suggest that when those centres are closed, they are provided with some type of financial compensation. The recommendation suggests that this financial support should also be extended to community centres who operate as an emergency rest centre. So where we have asked a community facility to close to assist with the rollout of the emergency plan, that we would seek to support the community in those costs. There would be obviously a loss of income for community groups.
Okay, thank you. Proposer for that one, Councillor Savage, is seconder. Councillor O'Hara. Any questions or matters raised on that one? No. Okay, then item number 13 is regarding the financial assistance for calls 2 and 3. That's Janine again, thanks. Okay.
Members, the report details the outcome of our financial assistance call 2. And recommends awards of funding of almost £500,000. The themes are included within your report. I'll not list them. The main issues arising from the latest financial assistance call relate to the Christmas illuminations theme, good relations and sports capital. In short, the amount of money requested and should be supplied to successful groups exceeds the current budget. The report is trying to find a way through where we have a group who's come through an assessment process and to try to provide them with some revenue. It's therefore recommending that an award of up to 50% of requested amounts to successful groups be provided under Christmas Illuminations, that we would award 75% of funding requested to groups successful under the Good Relations theme. With sports capital, there's a score and rank system involved, and it means that the report is recommended that we would fund the top number of applications successful through the sports capital call, and that the remaining three groups, despite being deemed successful, would not have funding to carry out their projects. That's the recommendations contained, Chair.
Thanks, Ryan.
Just in relation to the last part of that, Janine, and the sports capital, is there potential throughout the year that if there's any slippage monies that come the end of the year, we could look to see could them other schemes be carried forward?
Yes. Through the chair, we would, if committee members are happy, we would issue a letter saying they were successful, and should additional funds become available, that we would forward it on to them. It would take an agreement at council, mm-hmm. maybe a review of the budget in the autumn time for the FPNR, but it is a possibility.
Second, okay. And then we need a proposal and seconder for
the financial assistance
report. The financial assistance report, and seconder, Councillor Gallagher. Okay, thank you. Item number 14 then is the approval to go to business case design for the Carbone pitches. Is Paul taking this one?
Thank you, Chair. Members, the report outlines
In relation to Kilbrony Park playing pitches, currently made up of one football and soccer pitch and one GAA pitch, currently doesn't meet the minimum standard required. It's been referenced in both Kilbrony Park Supervision Master Plan and also the recent council sports facility strategy about upgrading these pitches, and the recommendation is asking members to agree to proceed with the appointment of design team and business place and business plan consultants for the upgrading of Kilbrony playing pitches.
I have
a proposal.
Karen, do you want to come in on that one?
I was going to, first of all, welcome that's got to this stage, because it's been going on for some time, but I was going to propose it, but I thought you had a plan you'd like to propose, so.
I think it was supported with actually.
We were delighted that it's got to this stage, and just hope it doesn't take as long to sort out from the next thing.
Thanks. All agreement, I have
it. Sure, just in relation to the two clubs that obviously would use most tickets at all stages, I think that's aware of where we're going with it and all that there, because obviously when the works start, then there'll be impact on them using the facility.
Just through the chair, yes. Well, yeah, those key user groups, a significant consultation will go on then as part of this process as well.
Okay, we've already taken item number 15, so we'll move on to item number 16, the Carlingford Park Play Area. I'll call again, thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Members will be asked to agree and progress the construction of a new play area at Carlingford Park in Newry at a revised cost of $180,605. Many of you know about the public consultation process and antisocial behaviour in the Carlingford Park area, and as part of that consultation process, in line with the play strategy, members of the public highlighted about the antisocial behaviour and an enhanced program of works at Carlingford Park, and also retention of the current kickabout area. As part of that process, the recommendation for members is to approve the construction of the play area in Carlingford Park at $180,605, which I believe that can be absorbed through the current capital budget within Play Flex Park strategy.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. I think that's great news on that one. Did you want to comment?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's just to say, for members' information, the council had previously agreed that a section of this park would be surplus to requirements and would be subject to the D1 process. By accepting this proposal tonight, you would be accepting that we're not going to subject part of it to the D1 process, and that will obviously then be referred to the Strategic Projects Working Group for their consideration, subject to your deliberations tonight. But clearly the proposal as it sits, which is the result of the community consultation, as Paul has said, would seek to refurbish and maintain the entire footprint of that park.
Can I have a proposer?
Yeah, Chair, I'm happy to propose it and welcome it. I think it's a great scheme and one that's been long overdue for the people of that area. And just to get a bit of an update, if I can, in relation to what stage we are, how far are we away from Carrick McClone and Newtown Clog. I know consultation's been on at the moment, if I can ask that at this juncture.
I'd actually got an update from Conor Hawkey. He said we'll probably be finished for October. Wouldn't that be right, Paul?
I'll have to go back to Conor on that and maybe come back to you directly, Councillor, to update you on this.
No problem, but I'm certainly happy to propose this.
Okay, have a seconder for that one? Yeah, okay, thank you. Item number 17 then is the Kiki River Walk Lights Upgrade. I'm off to Paul again.
Thank you, Chair. This is in relation to an upgrade of the Kiki River Walk Lights. As you may know, that they were subject to antisocial behaviour, and an upgrade was requested. As part of the scoping of works, it was identified that additional cabling would have to be fully replaced, which wasn't originally anticipated, and so members are asked to agree to proceed with Kilkerra River Walk Lights upgrade at a cost of $34,000 as opposed to $24,000. It's anticipated that this capital budget can be absorbed within the current capital budget scheme.
Okay, Proposer? Yeah. Seconder? Second, Councillor Murray. Any matters rising? No? Okay, thank you. Next item then, item number 18 is the leasing of council land with Sconner Playing Fields in Strangford and the back pitch in Green Bank Urey.
Thank you, Chair. In April 2017, this committee approved a formal consultation process with sport and community organisations who expressed an interest in leasing council land. As part of this process, we're asking members to consider and agree lease at a peppercorn rate, a rent for Roscommon playing fields, Stratford playing fields, and the back pitch at Greenbank in Newry, in line with the consultation process and business places, business plans being in place. So members are asked to consider and agree this recommendation.
Okay. Thank you. Item number 19 is for Owen, so it's the Action Renewables Energy Association membership.
Thank you, Chair. This paper is asking the committee to agree that the council acquires partner membership of Action Renewables Energy Association at a cost of £1,000, of which we have provision within the estimate. The benefits of that will include attendance training, advice on future projects, networking opportunities. So we're just looking for approval to become a partner.
Councillor Shannon.
Chair, happy to propose, and also to say that I think that this item very well links in with another item further down the agenda, item 26, where we're talking about our own council area having a forum on sustainable development and climate change. So it would be very prudent for us to actually become part of this group where we'll actually have access to the experts who will be able to inform us in those forums.
Okay. Seconder? Okay, then move on then. Item number 20. Item number 20 then is the All Party Group on Sustainable Development.
Thank you, Chair. Again, probably a related issue. So, Sustainable Northern Ireland are proposing to set up an All Party Group on Sustainable Development. So the purpose would be an elected members champion group for sustainable development, and we're asking that two elected members are nominated to sit to represent the council in this group, which will meet on a quarterly basis.
Okay. Proposer and seconder?
Proposer.
Okay. Item number 21, we don't actually need them, but due to the terms of reference, I think it's already in place. So move on to item number 22, which is the Motor Neuron Disease Charter.
Thanks, Chair. This paper relates to a previous notice of motion. So the purpose is that we agree to pass a resolution that to adopt the Motor Neuron Charter and to request a member of the Motor Neuron Disease Association attends a future meeting to give a presentation about the condition.
Okay. Proposed. Second. Okay. Thank you. Item number 23 then, is the consultation on stroke services.
Yes, Chair. This is to that the committee consider and agree to return the attached consultation response regarding the restructuring of stroke services within Northern Ireland. If you look, it's a questionnaire basis, and as it's been filled in, we give it to indicate that the council does not agree to further removal of services away more remotely from this area. So if there's any extra comments that people need to go on to that consultation response.
Okay. I propose that. Councillor Gallagher, he seconds. Councillor Chavis.
Chair, I haven't read through the responses. I think the overriding thing is that we want our services provided locally. The big issue about this is about travel times. And as I said at the consultation that we had in the Canal Court a number of months ago, you know, the road from Newry to Craigavon goes both ways. But the distance between a hospital from Cross McGlen or the distance to a hospital from Kilkeel is a lot more manageable to Daisy Hill. And I think that we need to be pressing very hard that we retain our excellent services, our stroke services in Daisy Hill, that everybody has a fair travel time and a fair chance.
And I think that whenever these consultations come out, we're going to Stormont tomorrow. Richard Bengelli is there to take opinions and views from political parties and members of the community. And he'll be getting a very strong message from us is that we want to retain our stroke services in our local hospital in Daisy Hill. It has been performing exceptionally well. And, you know, the argument we get all the time is, oh, it's down to the real estate that we have there. Then do something about it. Invest in our local hospital. Build the real estate that we need. The bottom line is that why should our people, the people of South Down and South Armagh, continually have to put up with the consequences of consultation decisions? Why do we have to continually pay the price? Why do we have to be the ones who have to make the compromise? Why can't the compromise come from another area? And my view is very simple. They should invest and put the investment into Daisy Hill. And I know that there are some members of the staff there who have been totally distraught at their years of efforts and dedication have been totally ignored in this consultation process. And I know for a number of years that Daisy Hill way outperformed Craigavon and what it was delivering for the people and the patients it served. And there has been an issue whereby in some cases people have been, I've been told they'll take them straight to Craigavon. And that boosts the numbers, because with the argument we get when we talk to Shane Devlin and other people at the high echelons of the Trust, they tell us that, you know, the numbers in Daisy Hill are much lower than what they are in Craigavon. Well, the very simple question I would like to ask would be, what are you going to do to mitigate for the lengthy travel times that people from Kilkeel, Addycall, Ballymartin, Cross McGlen, Colaville, Glasdrummond, all these other places that have to, who can make reasonable time to Daisy Hill? Those people's voice need to be heard, and that should be a core element of anything that we put back to the Trust or to the Department of Health in relation to our response. And I believe that the whole issue of locality is central to this. And I'd like to commend as well the members of the local group who have been out gathering thousands upon thousands of signatures. If this didn't mean anything to the people of Newry, South Armagh and South Down, the signatures wouldn't be there. This is a critical issue that needs to be handled very carefully. And I believe that rushing into decisions and automatically thinking that they have the solution by putting everything into Craigavon, I think is wrong. I think we've a young population, we've an old population, and this is, my father in the last 18 months had two bleeds in the brain. And I saw firsthand what getting to the hospital meant and getting there quickly. And I would be much more content, as with the people of South Down and South Armagh, if they had quick access to their local hospital to get the treatment that they need and then potentially shipped on by ambulance. Now, the big problem as well is when I raised this issue with the Trust, I was told that the ambulance plan that needs to be put in place for this is 3 years away. It's 3 years away. So we're going to take a decision on the future of healthcare and the decision on the future of our people who are suffering strokes on the basis that we're going to get it right eventually with relation to the transport. I'm sorry. Get the transport right first. Prove that it can be done and maybe we'll give you a fair hearing. But until then, don't be pushing our people into a position where their lives are going to be put at risk. And I believe that we should be making that case very strongly, as outlined in our response, that locality is crucial and the travel times are our key factor in our response of saying, no, we want to keep our stroke services in Daisy Hill. Thanks, Chair.
Councillor Shannon.
Chair, yes, just to mirror the sentiments from a colleague, Councillor Savage. The key issue here is, as he's rightly pointed out, locality. It's the geographical nature of our council area, especially when you have an agenda, it seems, to centralise services to Craigavon, to Belfast. Centralisation may work for those major urban areas in the centre of the north, but for areas like Newry, Morne and Down, which are predominantly rural, it doesn't work. We are told, as has been mentioned, that transport through NIAS is under review as well, and the consultation finishes that, and they have their own plans moving forward, but those plans are going to take years to implement. I think, as been said, we can't be having a decision made in stroke services now at this point in time without those transportation plans in place. It would be totally immoral to remove services from the local area. That will impact local people. And in fact, whenever you look at the statistics on the stroke register for the Newry, Morne and Down area from 2018, there were 3,117 people on the stroke register. Now that tells you the level of need in this area that there has been over a period of time. You know, those people living in Kilkeel, in South Armagh, the likes of Cross na Glen, or in the rural areas of the Downpatrick DA, Nairglass, or Kilkeel. You know, we haven't got the primary roads and the dual carriageways that our other areas have. Whenever you look at the likes of the Antrim Area Hospital, which has a very good motorway into Belfast, or you look at Lisburn, which has a lovely motorway into Belfast, a lovely dual carriageways, brilliant primary roads, we haven't got that infrastructure here. So we rely on the ambulance service. The ambulance service cannot deliver for us. As we've seen at our last meeting with the services, where they were telling us that the response times for Category A calls, which would include strokes, was at 33%. That's a damning indictment. How could we say now that we want to remove services from our local hospitals? Whenever you know that 33% of the time you may get your ambulance that may bring you to a hospital within the 1 hour that you need to be there in to get thrombolysis. So I think we have to strongly put back in our response that any services removed from our locality, it isn't on. It can't happen. If they remove services, we really have to show them exactly the position we're in. People, this is people's lives we're talking about. It isn't that we're talking about removing services. We're talking about people's lives here, actually. It's not about service now. It's about lives. And it's about how many lives can we save by having a localised service compared to having a centralised service, which will impact on the rurals. And I think that needs to be mentioned. There's a rural impact assessment part of the consultation, and we really need to hammer home the rurality of our district and the level of infrastructure in our district, which just cannot cope and cannot allow us to access those services.
Okay. Owen, do you want to come in there? Anything you want to... Oh, sorry, I haven't needed somebody to second the consultation. Okay.
Until,
sorry,
it doesn't have to be back to the 19th of July.
Okay. Okay. Just put your light on. You need to put your light on, Karen, so it's recorded.
Got it?
Yeah, yeah.
Can I just ask that the same service to the members of staff that the stroke consultation was sent round to them to give them a response the same way as what was proposed for the breast screen, and that maybe that's done as well?
The question. I don't know. Is there a similar consultation on the stroke services that was carried out with the? Certainly, yes. If it's available, yes.
It's the same process, I think, as the breast assessment. We could circulate with staff. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So item number 24 then is the consultation breast screening services. Just before the only thing I suppose I wanted to maybe mention on that was question number 8 under the human rights thing. We've answered no. I would probably disagree and say that yes, there is potential there for violation of human rights in terms of right to family life, because whilst we've talked about stroke services there, we're talking about further away again from, you know, in terms of the of where treatment will be received. So it was just if we could look at that, because, you know, one of the things following on and from myself and Councillor McGray proposed and seconded the motion at our last full council meeting, and we'd met with medical consultants and got advice from them, and that was one of the big factors that was mentioned, that it actually would be a potential breach of human rights, because, you know, the time that people would need to take and family members to accompany patients to travel the long distance. So if that was something we could reflect in that answer, if people were in agreement.
I wasn't sure when it was completely, but it's
something that as members will know, that, you know, we've been doing a number of consultation sessions across the district and helping people with their responses, and that's one of the key things that have come out of it, at least.
And that report's so similar to the last one, and then as Chair says, that was discussed at the full council meeting at the start of the month, so the comments that were made have been included in that report. So
fair enough. So just a proposal second for that one then. Is that, yeah? Proposed second. Okay. Thank you. Item number 25 then is the consultation report on model licence conditions under the Caravans Action NI 1963.
Thanks, Chair. Any members of this committee previously will know that we've obviously got a number of caravan sites in our area, and we have been looking at the licences over the past number of years. So we had reviewed our own licence conditions
the Department of Infrastructure is now consulting on reviewing the model license decisions that were set in 1992. So we have had a comparison between ours, what we had brought in, and what theirs are, and there's just a couple of small comments we would want to make in the attached letter. So we're just looking for approval to return the attached consultation response.
Okay, closer. Second. Okay, thank you. Item number 26 then is the terms of reference for sustainability and climate change forum.
Chair, members, first is just to apologise. It says report at the top. It'll say report to neighbourhood services. There, the nature of this new forum we're proposing, it will report to both committees. So it was a report to neighbourhood services as well. This sustainability and climate change forum proposed to take the place of three previous working groups and four that existed: the Sustainable Development Climate Change Stanton Forum, the Strategic Waste Working Group, and the Marine Task Force. And so we're looking for members to consider, agree to the establishment of this forum, and then agree to the attached terms of reference.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Do you have a post inside of that one?
More than happy to post, Chair.
Thank you. Okay, so we've already taken the two notices of motion. Moving on now, the next number of items are for noting, so I'm just going to read them if people want to come in with a comment for quickly to stick on your light. So the item number 29 is the relocation of existing resources at Carnby and Youth Pitches. Just from my own perspective, I think that's good news. It's something that's much needed, so glad to see that.
Chair, just at your indulgence, just as someone who played in the Youth League several years ago, I think not many, just a few years ago. I think the Council of Sports Development Section should be commended for their work in getting this upgrading done so quickly after 5 years out. So well done.
Okay, thank you.
If it hasn't been proposed, happy to propose. I think it's a great development.
Just for noting anyway.
That's okay. But just a comment that it's something that's been long overdue, and I know that the people involved are delighted with the outcome. Thank you.
Okay, item number 30 is regarding the closure of swimming pools. I know I'd made a few inquiries about this, so I'm delighted to see a report and thank the officers for this. Just a question, I suppose. One of the issues, I suppose, has been brought to myself and probably to other councillors is regarding the closure of the swimming pool in the leisure centre for different reasons. Generally, it seems to be around swimming galas and things like that, and I spoke to the officers on a number of occasions and would ask for this report, but on paper, I suppose it looks like there's very few, but I think maybe because they tend to be close together, it's causing issues with the public. You know, those people who have paid a full year's membership and things like that. So is there any way that we could try and reduce this or look at it? Because, you know, one of the issues is that people feel they're not getting value for money. A lot of these galas and things are at the weekends, and that's when families tend to want to go to the pool with the children and are being turned away or see it on Facebook. And I'm sure a lot of you have seen the comments and things that come under it. So it's just to see could we strike a better balance of in terms of this.
Through the chair, I think what also has maybe contributed, particularly this year, is the election, which were closed, full closure for 3 days, which we had no control over. It's actually the electoral office of Northern Ireland dictates that. So I think with Easter the way it fell as well, and elections, you know, it has been quite cumulative at this time, so I appreciate that. But it is an annual review, and we'll certainly keep reviewing this as we see fit.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, my computer slowed up here a bit. Item number 31 then, again for noting, the Sport NI your school or club funding. Anything you want to come in on or any? Happy to go ahead. So, okay. Under health and wellbeing and the affordable one scheme, Owen.
Sure, if I just mention this to members. Members will be aware of the affordable one scheme that this council has been carrying out since the start of this council with the Housing Aid and Department of Communities. Year on year, there has been a reduction in the funding that we're receiving. So, just to let members know, the funding has been reduced this year from 68,000 to 41,000. With a corresponding reduction in the referrals we're allowed to make, which is we're only allowed to make 16 per month. You'll see also in the report this decrease in funding, because the way the scheme has to operate, it's a constant. We can't just employ somebody for 3 months and do them all and send them on. So we've had a request from Armagh Ambridge Craigavon, because they're in a situation where they had lost their staff. So we're going to enter into an SLA with them, which we will bring to a future committee, that we will carry out the surveys in their area as well and receive their funding. And it will also allow us then to maintain our staff levels, so to make sure we're able to do all our visits. So it has worked out quite well, obviously, for the employees involved. But as I say, there will be a service level agreement drawn up with them, and we'll bring it to a future committee.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Trainor, do you want to come in?
Yeah, sorry, Chair, it's just really maybe one could tell me a bit of information. Just looking to see, is it a case that maybe each year has there been the same level of interest over each year? Because I know that we're seeing that there's a significant reduction in the budget there for it, and Ross said they're saying that there's a number of referrals. You know, you're a reduced number of referrals. But what's the interest, I suppose, like for it? Because I suppose whenever you're looking at something like this, if it's something that's of high interest, why are we seeing a reduced budget coming down? Just, you know,
through the chair. No, there is still a huge, and it's not even that there's huge interest. It's not something we advertise. It's a targeted scheme. So in the main, we're relying on addresses that have been provided to us, the Department for Communities, which is dependent on household income, levels of deprivation, etc. We still have huge numbers of addresses that we haven't knocked their door yet.
Yeah.
The issue is reduction of funding coming from central government. That's what the issue is. Now, to be fair, they're also trying in that the it's done in partnership with the Housing Agenda. They're also trying to ensure that anybody who gets through it gets the absolute optimum solution. So rather than giving a lot of houses £2,000 worth of work, they give a lot less houses £5,000 worth of work. So that's what, no, the demand is still there.
Okay,
Councillor Chavez. Yeah, Chair, I was just going to comment on that. The improvement in the enhanced level of funding has made a huge difference. I know in a number of potentially what you call rural houses that have been in a bad state of repair with stone walls, etc. But the big thing is that the demand is there, particularly among people who are low incomes, maybe on pension credit, for example, and have health issues, and badly need like breaks of damp and other parts of their houses, the homes that they're living in, fixed. And I know of a number of cases whereby we've had elderly people living in the one room, because it's only room in that house, so that in some cases, maybe labourers' cottages, things like that, that they can, that have been there a long time, that they can actually live in.
Again, items under community engagement, items number 33 to 36 are for noting only. So I'll just take them together. If anybody has any issues or matters arising to raise, you can do so before we move on. So that's items number 33 to 36. Just going to take them together because they're just for noting. Okay. Happy to move on then. And the same for items 37 and 30, I think might be the only one in one of them. But
yeah, I just, especially for new members of the committee, just wanted to bring it to your attention. 37 under forenoting director is the scheme of delegation. So under the council scheme of delegation, the directors are allowed to make a number of decisions without referral to the committee, but those decisions then have to be reported on a 6 monthly basis to the committee. So as you can see what I've been doing while you haven't been watching me, it's mainly around tariff, council land and things like that that have to be done quickly. Some pre-swims and things that we give out on occasion, and some promotions and leisure centres and things like that. So you can see a full list of what I've been up to in the last 6 months included in that. And item 38, terms of reference for committee and the fifth committee and working groups. Again, this is really for the new members. So as you can see, the terms of reference for this committee, the AHC committee, and you can see all of the various working groups and steering committees and so on that are responsible to this committee. So that's what those are for. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Okay, and the last item, number 39, is to be taken in committee, so we'll need to ask the press to leave on this one. Thank you. So it's just, this item is deemed to be restricted by virtue of paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, NI 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of to any particular person. The public may, by resolution, be excluded during this item of business. Proposal and seconded to go into committee. Opposed, Councillor Savage. Seconded, Councillor McKevitt. Okay, so on the proposal of Councillor O'Murray on the and seconded by Councillor O'Hare, the committee note and agree to approve that Newry Mourne and Down District Council enters into a 25-year lease agreement with Castlewellan Community Partnership to include the community centre, 3D pitch and mobile units at a peppercorn rate of £25 per annum. Okay, thanks very much, Councillors. Stay home.
Thank you.